Okay, so we're beginning our class, the Makos, Davdalad Amad Aleph, and we begin with a question. Yehuda asks, now that we have the sugya set up as follows, Rava has one pshat in the Mishnah. He has one version, and according to the way, Rava pshitale, so then Rav, well, his psak goes in line with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. According to Rav Papa wasn't sure. Maybe Tanakama also works like Rav's psak. And then you have Abaye, who quotes us that Rav Yosef taught like Rav Papa. So then, how do you go la halacha? So let's break it down. Rava versus Rav Papa. The second, the Gemara set it up. Le Rava pshita le Rav Papa ibaya le. Rava says, no, I'm sure the Mishnah should read this way. Rav Papa says, I'm not sure. Maybe it should be this way, maybe it should be that way. So ordinarily, our assumption halachically is that a question, I'm not sure, doesn't refute a statement. And ordinarily we'd say, so Rav Papa, you have a question, that's very nice. You're not sure, but Rava says he is sure. So halacha is with Rava. Step one. Step two, I have a problem. Halacha kibasroi. Rav Papa comes after Rava. Step three, I have another problem. Rav Papa is Rava's Talmid. And Rav Papa still says, I'm not sure. Step four, I have an even more exasperated problem that Abaye comes and validates what Rav Papa said. And it's not only Abaye, it's Abaye in the name of Rav Yosef. So then, it's not that Rav Papa says, I'm not sure, maybe the Mishnah should read this way. It's that a generation before Rava, Abaye in the name of Rav Yosef, is saying, this is how the Mishnah should read. Not maybe, Vadai. So, luckily for us, this doesn't have too much halachic relevance because you have Rav's psak. Rav actually said, the question is Rav going with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri or Rabbanan?
But isn't there a nafka mina about Shura? I mean, if he holds then he holds that you also need Shura.
Right. So you're saying there would anyways be enough Kamina. So this is the place where you start looking up Rishonim, but there's a great weight against Rava. Each of those weights on its own might not be enough of a weight, because Rav Papa is Misapkale. And Abaye is the one quoting Rav Yosef, and at the end of the day, Abaye and Rava halacha like Rava. But when you have Abaye in the name of Rav Yosef plus Rav Papa against Rava, so then you start having a more serious weight against Rava. Back to our Gemara.
So you say that's for Homer?
I say that's for when we learn more Be'iyun. But the way it plays itself out is with that breakdown. Sometimes the Mibayale doesn't carry that much weight, and sometimes it does. Because you see, he was his Talmud, and he was still Mibayale.
What about Rav Papa Misapkele, but he's also Batra?
There's a difference between Stam being a Batra and being a Batra who's his Talmud. I'm saying he's his Talmud and he still says Mibayale.
The whole thing is not clear how
he... Okay, so this is discussed. This is different Rishonim go different ways on that, whether Misapkele outweighs the Pshitale. Ordinarily it doesn't. Ordinarily we say no. Back to our Gemara. Vam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. We're continuing with our quotes of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav.
Where would that be?
Chavit, next to Tosus Lokin, two lines up. Chavit Mele'amayim. You have a barrel filled with water. Shenafla li'ama gadol, fell into the Mediterranean. Hatoved sham lo'alta lo tvila. And then someone goes and dives in after that barrel, meaning we're on a ship and we decide we're throwing a barrel of water overboard, so we pour out a whole barrel of water, and just after we pour it in, someone says, hey, that was sweet water, why'd you pour it into the salty Mediterranean? And he dives in right afterwards, and as he's diving he says, L'shem Tvilas Mitzah, I want to become a Jew. Okay, so we say no, can do, didn't work, you got to go back in. Why? We are concerned that you went right where they poured the water. maybe there was a volume of three log right there. Vedavka le'ama gadol de'kai ve'kaima. And this is only so with the Mediterranean. Aval nara be'alma lo. The Mediterranean, it seems, was a commerce. Other rivers are flowing more speedily, and by the time you dived in, the water didn't stay put.
How long does it take for it to disappear?
That's a good question. Okay. Now, Rashi has a very interesting pshat in the sugya. What did our Gemara say? Our Gemara said we're worried for three lugin of water that were in one place. What does Rashi say? Maybe all the water that was in the barrel is standing there. And maybe he was completely, was mostly covered with water that was drawn, not Mediterranean water.
Could you taste it?
Slowly. Yeah, so what does it mean, Zechad min ha'poslim tatuma? So Rashi is giving us a whole geshef. First of all, it seems like Rashi didn't have the words chashinun l'shlosha lugin, because Rashi says I'm worried about his whole body being encompassed with drawn water. Secondly, Rashi makes it worse. You would have asked me, I would have said, I don't know if his tevila worked or not. He was tamei before he entered the water, so misafek, I don't uproot the chazaka. He was tamei, and he stays tamei. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, we have a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that says there were 18 things that Beis Shammai overcame Beis Hillel, and they decreed. One of the things that they decreed is that if someone went to the mikveh, and after he came out of the mikveh, he took regular water and poured it over his head, so three lug of regular water... So if most of his body went into drawn water right after he came out of the mikveh, so he is disqualified from truma. If he will touch truma, that truma becomes disqualified. Why did they make such a decree? Because their mikveh waters were in caves, and they'd be stagnant and stinky. And so when people came out of the mikvehs, they'd rush to shower to get the stench off. And then people started thinking, gee, I guess the way you become pure is by using both waters, or maybe only the shower is what works. Can't be the stinky water is what's getting me pure. So the rabbis realized that they're only a step away from people stopping to go to mikveh totally, and they'll only go take a shower. So the rabbis came and made a decree. Anyone that comes out of the mikveh and goes to a shower becomes disqualified for truma. He's got to go to mikveh again.
For women, halacha said that's how it is nowadays, right? What have I heard? I don't know.
I don't think so. They didn't say it disqualifies the tefillah. They said poslanes a truma.
Well, no, as in the women, they wait till they get... Apparently, they wait till they go home for shower. They don't shower straight after.
Could be.
But
could
men
be.
Don't have this...
I don't know why men would be different than women.
Halacha said for Yom Kippur.
I don't see what the problem is. They made gzeira that it's poslanes a truma. They didn't make gzeira that they disqualifies your tefillah.
Okay.
Right after you get out of the mikveh, if you go shower, you're puzzled.
Slowly. Step two. They realized that if they just leave it as this gzeira, then no one's going to buy it. What happened that this shower water made me tummy and that shower water didn't? So they made another gzeira. Habor, rosho, verubo, shloshu, slug, and maim, shuvin. Poslin, if a person goes and pours three lug of water on his head, so he's puzzled for truma. So anytime you take a shower, you're puzzled for truma. That's the next gzera they made there in the Yud Ches Davar and the 18 things of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So now, Rashi, first of all, Rashi doesn't go into Shlosh Shlug and Maim Shuvin. Rashi only says, I'm worried, first stage of the gzera, that he went... Just a second. Let me get the Gemara. Let me make sure I'm remembering this correctly. Shabbos,
It's right at the beginning, right?
No, you're Gimel on the That was the next zera. So the three lugin in our Gemara works really well, according to Rashi. The only problem is Rashi didn't say it. Rashi said we're concerned Rosho Verubo. Why did Rashi say Rosho Verubo? So Rosho Verubo sounds like I'm worried most of his body wasn't in kosher mikveh water. But then Rashi adds, and this is one of the gzeros that pasul for Truma. So Rashi made a chillin' here. So if we were learning Bein, we'd have to sit down and break our heads over why Rashi did this, why Rashi had to learn that pshat. Meaning the words lo also lo tvila mean his tvila was not qualified. It didn't work. So the easiest explanation is you have a safek, mi safek, the tvila is safek kosher, and the man did not leave his tuma. He was vadai tame, you can't take a safek and get him out of tuma. But Rashi makes a whole chulim. And maybe what drove Rashi there were the words, chashin and shlosha lugin. But then why did Rashi talk about Rosho Verubo? So I don't know. Tanya Nami Achi.
How do you read the where it says that Shalo Yuba Makom Achal? It sounds like that they weren't in one Makom.
Were Choshesh lest it be that Shalo Yuyu. We are Choshesh Sheyiyu. So in Lashon of the Gemara, we say Choshesh Shalo Yuyu. You'll see it often, yeah. Tanya Nami Yochi. We have a braisa that goes this way too. Chavit Melea Yain. Barrel filled with wine. Shenafela Liyam Gadol. That fell into the Mediterranean. Hatovel Shamlo Alta Lo Tvila. Someone goes, dunks over there. His Tvila was not qualified. We're concerned there might be three lugin of water in one place. Three lugin of drawn in one place. V'chein, what does v'chein mean? Thank you.
What is lozu?
Not only that, but even v'chein means, and even the following case. Kikal shel teruma. If we had a loaf of bread that was truma bread, shenafal sham, that fell over there, tamei, that loaf of bread is tamei. Why? Because we're assuming the wine remained in the same place. The man who's tamei, well, he touched the wine. He climbed out, and now you have tamei wine down there. The wine hasn't been bottled to the Mediterranean yet. So now when the loaf of bread falls in, that loaf of bread became tamei from the wine. My v'chein. Gemara asks, what's the v'chein? If you're telling me that I'm concerned because the wine remained in the same place. So obviously, just like his tefillah didn't work, the wine became tamei. What's the big chiddush? I might have thought, even though by tevila you don't let it be a kosher tevila, why don't I let it be a kosher tevila? Uki gavra, place the man. Achezke, based on his chazaka. So I'm saying, why is he tamei? Because he had a cheskas tuma. So a suffix tevila doesn't help him. But what about the truma? That was tahor. So maintain the chazaka and say it remains tar. Tamash Malan, that's what I came to teach you, that I'm more confident than that. I'm confident enough to be mitameh the loaf of bread.
What made the truma tameh?
The wine.
Why the wine?
Because a tameh person dunked into the wine.
That's the wine became tameh?
Correct.
And then it transferred to the thing.
Correct.
Yeah. Now I just don't understand, because the sea is more than 40 sa. And that we said that it's more than 40 sa, so something that falls into it is batel.
Yeah, but that's not a magic hocus pocus. If you see that in one that the thing stayed in one place, then you can't say batel. It's there. That's like a person saying I have a chulin pot. and the maid came in and poured in a little bit of milk, and I see the milk there. It's batel b'shishim. It's not batel b'shishim. You see it.
You have to take it out.
Yes.
Or wait till it...
It'll take it out.
No, I mean in the Great Sea.
In the Great Sea, yeah.
Wait till you see it anymore.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Onwards.
The fish will be very happy.
This is the fun part.
Okay. Now we basically closed off the more difficult sugiyot, and from here on in it's relatively easy sailing. I mean, these were really, we had a few sugiyot, the mako sugiyot, the gershon sugiyot, and the water sugiyot. Okay, next Mishnah. We testify about so-and-so, he owes his friend 200 zuz. They're found to be Edim Zomin. Lokin, Shalmin. So, we beat them up, we give them lashes, and they pay. Double whammy, okay. Shelo Hashem amvian lidei makot, mevian lidei tashlumin. Shelo Hashem, the pasuk that brings them to get lashes is not the same pasuk that requires them to pay. So, what does the word shame mean? Ah, so let's see. Where does the word shame show up in the Torah? Well, Noach named one of his sons Shame, and in the Tower of Babel, what does it say?
V'naselanu
shame. Very good. So, what is the shame over there? Or let's ask differently. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Liyada Chazoko, there's a mitzvah, Leida Sheyesh Shame. There's a mitzvah to know there is a shame that he created everything, he makes everything run. He's that great wheel that keeps all the gears running. Okay, so the word shame, says the Ramban, means a force, means something potent, and aselanu shame. Let's erect for ourselves a potent idol that will be the center of our city. That was the Tower of Babel. And over here, Sarashi tells us that shame means a pasuk. Okay, we didn't have to learn that way, but we're learning Rashi, so okay, we'll go with Rashi. So, what did Rav Meir tell us? That Edom Zomimim in a classical case are going to get lashes. Torah says, Lotan Evreacho Eid Shoker, do not give false testimony. They transgress that prohibition, lashes. Okay, so that needs a lot of work. We generally say you can't give lashes if a person wasn't warned. What warning do you have here? We generally say that speaking, as we saw in the beginning of the Masechet, is a lav shein bo maaseh. Doesn't involve any action, so what are you giving them lashes for? So all of this we will have to explore.
Which one does he get lashes for?
Lo sanev re'acho eid shoker.
And he has to pay because of...
Vasisem lo kasher zomam. Yes. Okay. Onward.
So this applies to every eid zomam.
It would seem that way, yes. Yes, as we will see.
I remember the Mishnah, they whip people multiple times for the same Avera.
Like we'll see that too.
Ant, right?
We'll see, we'll get there. Avera.
But, isn't there some sort of idea, though, that we don't punish something multiple times for the same thing? Like...
No.
Somebody has for the day, he beats up his father.
So there's a din, a special din of kam lebid rabba mine. That the Torah teaches us that once he gets a death penalty, he doesn't have to, if for one act, he really has to pay and get the death penalty. So once he gets a death penalty, he's absolved from all the other punishments he should have gotten, if it's one act, or if it's at the same moment. Okay. Back to our Mishnah. Chachamim say, if you pay, you don't get beaten up. The Torah says, when you give him lashes, you give him kidei rishato. Give him lashes in accordance with his singular wickedness. We understand that to mean you could only obligate him for one form of wickedness. He can't do two. Okay. So the Gemara in Ksubas asks, well, maybe say the other way. Give him lashes. Don't make him pay. Okay. Back to our Mishnah.
You're only giving him lashes for one. True, he only has one Rishon though that's getting lashes.
Okay. So think about it, and we'll continue Bizarre Chim next week.
Okay.